Yo, what is going on, everybody? We are on another episode of Sit Down with Sniper. Today, we have someone who has been in the sneakers and NFTs for a little bit now, and he goes by Franelations. How are you doing, brother?
Doing good. What's good, Sniper? Thanks for having me on. Excited for today's show.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, man, you have been doing videos on YouTube for a long time. You've been, I would say, collecting as a whole, rather it's might be video games, it might be cards, shoes is what you're known for. Do you feel like over the years of collecting, it has got you prepared for NFTs and what you're doing now?
Yeah, most definitely. I consider myself a lifelong collector. I'd come home from school in fourth grade with $200 and my parents like, what'd you do? And I'd be slinging Japanese Pokemon cards because they'd have those cards early. So kids would not have seen the art. And so didn't really matter what it was. I didn't know like how to price it properly. So I just pull it out of the pack. And then every holo, I just charged $20. And so I got in trouble at school because kids were stealing money from their parents to buy Pokemon cards for me and stuff like this. And I've always, collected and flipped, and it's just always been fun for me. And so, yeah, I mean, the idea of collecting physically as well as playing games like World of Warcraft, seeing those digital items appreciate in value. I've been playing that game since it launched. And, like, if you have, like, an original BlizzCon, which is, like, their big event they do every year, item, you know, back then it might have been $60, and nowadays it might go $20,000, $30,000. And that's not even something that you can, trade in a game or anything like that. You just have the license to use it. You don't own that digital asset. I had that back in the day and my account got banned for buying gold. And so that's the exact reason why NFTs make sense to me is no one can take away your digital assets. You have true ownership of it and that changes everything.
Damn. Okay. So with all due respect, you know much more than I think most people think. You're not just a sneaker guy. You understand the ins and outs of collecting. You've been doing this for a while. I want to jump into the beginning. When did you originally start seeing crypto and NFTs? When did that hit your radar? Because I did see that you do own an ape. So you own one of the highest projects. So, I mean, we all agree it's the top of the top. Were you early to that? Can you just jump in your story with NFTs and crypto?
Yeah. So the person who inspired me to look into crypto was the same person who inspired me to start doing my videos, which is Sneak Geeks. At the time, he was the only one doing sneaker reviews. He was doing Jordan reviews. And in 2013, he uploaded this video at the time that I thought was super weird. He was in his room and you hear all these fans going, he was mining Litecoin and Ethereum. And I was like, what the heck is this? And around that time, I was hearing like Philip DeFranco talking about crypto as well. But to me, I think at the time, Bitcoin was like $200. And I was like, oh, that's more than a pair of Jordans. Like, it seems like this is the most that some digital money will ever be worth. So I kind of overlooked it and just thought of it as kind of like a scam or something that if you got in right now, you'd be too late. And in 2017, the summer of 2017, Bitcoin was at $4,200. And so I already had the past knowledge of Sneak Geeks being right and being early to YouTube videos and me seeing that, to me, that was enough confirmation where I'm like, okay, this thing is going to exist for a long time. The internet's not going anywhere. And I was ready to dig in. But then I saw the chart and it was fluctuating. And I was like, oh, I'm going to wait for it to go down. So I was looking at that chart all day and I didn't buy anything. I made the account at the exchange that I wanted to buy at. And then it wasn't until November of that year, Bitcoin was at 11,000 and I bought my first, I think I put in like $200 or something like that. And once I bought, I dug in head first and I was watching every YouTube video I could, every documentary I could. I was all in, mentally, not monetarily at that time. And in all the documentaries, they'd always talk about NFTs and you'd see these people auctioning off these crypto kitties and it made no sense to me. I was like, wait, so anyone can make it? And again, just like I overlooked crypto, I overlooked NFTs at this time. It wasn't until February of 2021 that, again, Sneak Geeks had posted a VV digital collectible. It was the Harley Quinn. It was the super rare Harley Quinn. And it had just released a few days after my birthday, and he copped it for retail. And it was at this point where I saw licensed digital collectibles from brands that I knew and loved, Powerpuff Girls, Batman, whatever it may be. And that I recognize. It's not these CryptoKitties that didn't make sense to me. It is collectibles that I already traded as a kid. And so that's where it started making more sense. I jumped on OpenSeas, started buying random like collectibles I liked. And one of the first projects I liked, it was like a Elven Punks, a big World of Warcraft player. So it reminded me of that. And the artist, right when I bought it, the artist tweeted my name and is like, the elderly wizard Frenelations has acquired the elf from Madgar. Like just making the storyline. I was like, wait, what the hell is this? This is crazy. And like, it just excited me even more about the space, how interactive and how interesting it was. And I was talking to the artist for a few days and I was like, you know, I really want to start making these 8-bit pieces. Like, and she literally walked me through it for a couple days, how she made the art, what program she used. And that was another thing that drew me to it, is how open people were with the information in the space. It reminded me of the early days on Twitter and everyone looking out for each other on certain shoes or whatever it may be. And I just had that really early community vibe there. And yeah, within a few days of collecting, I started creating, and I've been collecting, creating, trading ever since. As far as Bored Apes, they actually followed me around that time before it even launched. And so I looked at the page and I remember looking at it, I was like, man, these are okay. And I didn't mint. Instead, I ended up minting 8 Meebits, which was pretty pricey. They were like 2.5 ETH compared to Bored Apes, which is 0.08. So since I just done that the day when I bought my Bored Ape, I was like, I should only get one. Like I can't be like buying all these things every day. Like I don't even know what's going to happen in the space yet. I made the wrong call. It is what it is, but at least I got one like 3 days after it sold out. So I was pretty early to it. I've been in and out of the project since. A month later, I got an offer for 1.4 ETH and I sold it. And I thought I was the man making a 3X on a Bored Ape a month later. But no, I've been in pretty much since around 5 ETH. That's when I got back in and I've been trading, ever since, but I've been in and out. So.
Damn. That's a crazy story. No, that's perfect. I like the long answers, 'cause you're giving me substance to work with. So with the ape, I mean, that's crazy. I've seen you at some of the events and stuff. Have you been, when it comes to Bored Ape, are you really in their community? Are you going to all of the like pop-ups and trying to be involved? Because from what it seems like, I mean, right now it comes to utility. Apes have that in the sense of they really have great everything. Always putting out merch. I'm not going to sit here and argue if it's the best merch, but they're always right. Putting out stuff. They're always trying to do the airdrops. I mean, they acquired, you know, the other collections. But yeah, are you going to the pop-ups and everything that they're doing, or do you not really go too many of the in real life events?
Yeah, I definitely do. Even the very first LA meetup, I went to that, and that was a really cool experience. I was very like, I don't know, like nervous or anxious to do so, especially like COVID had just happened. So I hadn't really been going out in general. And so, that was a cool experience meeting everyone. Some of the people there now are literally Ape Council, which is like very cool to see. People, you know, really cementing themselves in this community and branding their apes in that way. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was a big eye opener for me too, is the in-person community aspect of it. And it was cool at that event, they had all the screens. So everyone, was like displaying their different apes on the screen, and it was just a really fun, like it was different. It was a fun experience. And, I've very much been involved, you know, even, the use of the IP, that was another big factor in me, wanting to get into Bored Apes. I've been able to do collaborations using the IP with like, Diamond Supply Co. And I had a sneaker released, one of my past apes that I had. And that's been a fun part too. Even licensing out to like conventions or companies that want to use it for branding. So, you know, it's more than just the crypto aspect of it. Is like there's a business model that can be created around it, and that is another very interesting and exciting part to me. Having already started, you know, back when I was doing the sneaker reviews, I went into doing my own footwear brand at a sandal brand, and so again, just kind of layering that experience into this space has been, you know, another useful or fun part of it.
So I definitely have to ask, whenever it comes to shoes, I mean, even in NFTs, I would still say that you're an influencer. You've been doing this for a long time, especially with the shoes. Has NFTs, do you have a bigger love for NFTs than you do for shoes?
I would say so, but my love for sneakers was already dwindling to some extent. Obviously, I'm probably going to be buying shoes my whole life, but it just wasn't the same feeling. Like I said, one of the early draws is when I got on crypto Twitter, or specifically Web3 and NFT Twitter, that community aspect. And I have not felt that from sneakers in a very long time. The early Twitter sneaker days, that's what it felt like. It's changed so much. It's just changed so much, and I didn't, vibe with it as much over the years. It's still fun for me. I just picked up some sneakers yesterday. And so, overall, I just think there's a lot more that can be done with NFTs. And then we're so early, there's going to be even more use cases later on. Again, as someone who played World of Warcraft their whole life, once I found NFTs, I sold off my entire video game collection. I've had sealed games. Inbox games since Super Nintendo. I've always been like an obsessive collector. So I literally had my original instruction booklets and boxes for Super Nintendo games. I sold it all because the idea of interoperability and using these characters for, decades to come across multiple platforms, that was what was exciting to me. And so, yeah, I have full belief that Web3 is going to be here to stay, and it's going to blow people's minds over the next few decades.
Wow. No, I'm not going to lie. I feel the same way. And especially with ownership, like you said, a lot of people that I have heard in the past like to use WoW as a reference, World of Warcraft, for those that don't know. And the fact that items have been priced so high and the fact that you do not own them was just a very good example. I think I've seen people use Fortnite as the same thing. People are paying so much for skins that you do not own, at any time they can just be taken from you.
I bought a phone just to get a skin in the game, the Galaxy phone, when that dropped.
So, yeah, and people were doing, going to that extent just to get a skin. It's like NFTs just make sense in that aspect. So now I do want to ask you, are you doing anything in the space? Have you created any projects? Are you wanting to create any projects? If not, could you walk us through that?
Yeah, I started creating within days of joining the space. Sneakerpunks is my project. The first iteration of it, I didn't know anything about how to start a smart contract or anything like that. So they were just minted directly to OpenSea at that time, which at that time was a very common thing to see a lot of people doing. You still see that now, but it's not as common as spaces progressed and stuff like this. And so, that was the idea. I'd release them randomly, sometimes at 3 a.m., sometimes at 1 in the afternoon. I'd release one or two, and they'd sell instantly. And it got to the point where it literally seemed like there was a bot there ready to buy them, because literally, within seconds, they were going. And so, that was cool to see. The thought process there was a lot of my following on Instagram comes from Web2, the sneaker world. And so to have this digital collectible that can onboard you into the space, and I wasn't charging an arm and a leg or anything like that. A lot of NFTs at this time, you got to remember this was during the bull run. Thousands of dollars was very common for an NFT. And so this is $60. So I just wanted something that was affordable and easy to access and everything like this. Now, as time progressed in the space, I have a friend who helped me with the whole website and smart contract. And so the original owners of the first project were able to claim two of the new the V2s, and then we did a public mint as well. And so there's 1,337 of those. And so those are the two main collections. I also had fun just doing little, I think I was charging a penny or something like that. I'd always post on social media what sneakers I was wearing. And so I did little NFTs. This was around the time of Irene DAO or something like this. I forget.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
It was around that meta. I did on-feet picks. I released 30, and there was banger shoes with Bored Ape skateboards around. And I just tried to, have fun with it, really. That was the idea. I was just creating fun stuff. And so, I've definitely started stuff and even helped friends with – I have friends that are working on projects and stuff like this, so helped a little bit. picking traits and stuff like this. And so I definitely want to do more of that, more creating. And that's another aspect that I enjoy in the space for sure.
Fuck, that's crazy, man. So yeah, I already know. I haven't seen all the pictures, but I mean, I know what's in your rotation. So I could imagine there was some heat, you know, being shown. That's crazy. I'm gonna have to go back and look at some of those. But as of recently, you know, we saw Web 2 and Web 3 collide whenever Nike decided that they wanted to go crypto kicks. Now, I might get crucified for this from other people. The shoes are ugly. The shoes are hideous. I'm not a fan. I'm not a huge fan. But I was never a fan of the self-lacing BB Adapts or the 11s. I'm not even an 11s fan, so I'm a very picky guy as it is. So I wanted to ask you, because I saw that you've been working. I don't know if it's alongside Nike. I don't know, you know, but I saw that they're allowing you to talk, and that you've been doing some things with the crypto kicks. Is there anything that you could talk on there? You know, are you liking the shoes? What's up with that, man? You know, you're a big sneaker guy, so I'm really curious to hear your take on it. It's one that I feel like means more than most NFT collectors, just because you've been doing it for so long.
Yeah, so I don't like all of the colorways, but I do like the space ones a lot. I do like the ones inspired by the Air Mags. The space ones in particular, I really like, because black and purple on pretty much any shoe, I'm probably adding it to my collection. But the thing that I like about that one the most is the outsole, how it has the fading, like clear sole. It fades to different colors. You know, many years ago, I was fortunate enough to go out to the Nike campus and have the chance to work on a shoe. It never actually like released or anything like this. But that was one of the things I did, was literally that same exact color fade on the outsole. At the time, it hadn't been done. I think the following year, it was on a Foamposite or something. That was the first time that I had seen it. And so, really like the shoes. Love the auto lacing of it. I think it's a cool design. I think the word crypto in it could be jarring to people that are seeing it for the first time on the sneakers app. So, I do like, you know, I like the naming. Had it released in the bull, and there's no way to have, you know, change that. We can't change the fact that the FTX thing happened. So, you know, people's mindset, I think it'll change over time, but just in this period where it's releasing, it's going to make it harder. But at the same time, that's kind of part of the story of it too. If you think back to like the original Nike SB shoes, skaters didn't want them. They're like, Nike's trying to like buy into this market and stuff like this. And they were sold at the skate shops, and then SBs became, you know, a really popular division at Nike. And so I think in that same way, these shoes might get overlooked at first, but people might go back once they get used to all of Nike's product having move to earn type technology and stuff like this, and look for the original genesis of that. And at that point, I think that's where the value comes in down the road for the physicals. I think the digital collectibles are going to have value much quicker than that.
Okay. I like that. I like that answer. And I will say, I have not seen that colorway. The only colorway I've seen, I think, was like an all black. And then I think like a gray with a little bit of light blue on it. I could be mistaken there.
Yeah, that's the one.
That was the only ones I've seen.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you, though, because this has been on my mind. I've seen who Nike is pulling for, like, to help them promote and stuff. Do you feel like they're tapping in to the actual shoe heads, I guess we could put it the nicest way? Like, I felt grabbing you. You're in this space. That was genius. Obviously, you've been doing shoe reviews and everything for 10 years. Some of the other people, and it's nobody in particular, they're just not no one that's been, you know, they probably don't know what Nike Talk is or who Sneak Geeks is. Do you feel like they're grabbing the right people, or do you think that they could be tapping in a little bit more of the OGs?
So a few things. One, there's a clear separation between like Dot Swoosh, Nike Dot Swoosh, and Artifact. You know, Artifact is owned by Nike, but it's like another brand, just like Converse would be or Jordan brand. And Nike Dot Swoosh is more of like a division of Nike, like how like SB would be, or Nike Golf or something like that. So that separation is pretty important. I think the fact that Dot Swoosh is doing these in-person events is great, because, you know, we're all on Twitter. We all see the same people and everything like this, but there's people that don't really, you know, understand crypto or digital collectibles, but they go to these sneaker shops. And so the fact that they're having these events at the shops all around the US, I think that's great to introduce new people. As far as the people that they're working with, yeah, I mean, I think they're doing a great job. Even like on the Artifact Collab, some of the different artists and stuff, it had like a wide range of like crypto / NFT influencers to like Paris Hilton and stuff. So I don't think there's like any right answer for who, you know, everyone can get involved in this space. And that's the awesome part of it. I was very, happy that they did reach out, that Nike reached out. I did think it was, interesting to look back on it. As much as I was doing the YouTube videos at the time, it took me moving away from that space to actually end up, working with them in some way. But I was very excited to do so, and I hope to do more of that in the future. And yeah, I think it's exciting. I think every brand's going to have a digital presence as far as digital collectibles go. Web one, you have websites and emails. Web two, social media. And web three, it's going to be digital collectibles and some type of crypto exchange, or not exchange, but like payment. And so the fact that Nike's willing to be this early, you know, gaming companies, they literally can't even do this right now because literally the fan base is so upset over it. They see the title NFT or see Bored Apes and they think scam. So the fact that Nike's willing to go out there when they could be, you know, taking all these, shots from their fan base and it might potentially hurt their sales and stuff like this. I think the fact they see something there and they're willing to expose it to people is great. And I think it'll be more common in the next bull run. Everyone, whether it's retail investors or companies, they get really excited when the charts are green, but no one wants to touch it when the charts are red. And so like we saw this last cycle, we're going to see a lot of brands next cycle, but the fact that they're willing to start now during this foundation, I think is awesome.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, that was a great answer. You brought up a good point. That's one of the best parts about this space is that everyone can be involved. You don't have to be the highest of the highest sneaker guy or the highest of this. They're trying to include everyone. So that was actually a great answer. I really like that. I do want to ask you, there's so much that we could go on for. So whenever it comes to NFTs and collecting anything, I think a lot of people agree whenever you see the word rare or low quantity, that just drives up the hype factor a little more. Now, yep. You being with shoes, you know where it comes from with the hype shoes. Do you feel like that obsession with wanting the rare shoes and stuff has translated to NFTs? Like, are you wanting the best of the, because I know you said you're an obsessive collector. So are you like that with NFTs as well? Because you have some crazy shoes. Do you have some crazy NFTs to match?
Yeah, definitely have some crazy NFTs. But even like whether it's speculating or whatever, I'll use the Murakami Air Force Ones from Artifact as an example, right? I feel like at times I'm like seeing something that like no one else is seeing and I don't get it. Like the Travis Scott shoes, whenever they release, there's got to be 30, 40, 50,000 of them. And they go for like $1,000 or $800, whatever. Takashi Murakami, one of the most well-known artists in the world. You see his style and right away, you know who it is doing an Air Force One, one of Nike's most iconic shoes with Artifact on the blockchain. It's a digital collectible. It's going to be used as a digital wearable for your avatar. It's going to have a physical thing. That physical thing has a chip. There's so many layers as to why it should be going for so much more than it is, and it isn't. And I get that we're in a bear and stuff like this, but there's only, if I remember correctly, 4,000 of the digital collectibles. There's no way all of those are going to be forged. And so there's so many times where I'm looking at this space, and I feel like, I don't know if people are looking at it in the same way as I am, where I'm looking a few years out, because there's certain sneakers that were $300 and that seemed like it was way too much at the time. And those same sneakers are going for like $20,000 now. And so, yeah, I definitely, look at all the rarities and that's the exciting part to me. I try to kind of like see what other people aren't seeing. And I'm very vocal of when I have that opinion. People will tweet like, oh, you're trying to like pump your bags or something like this. You got to understand, I have so many pieces, physical and digital, that go to zero, and it doesn't bother me one bit. That's not why I collect. I collect because it's something I like, even if it's before someone likes it. Like rare Pepes, I was picking those up at 0.02. No one cared about those things. And then they popped off. And, you know, at 0.02, I had bought 30 of them because I just thought they were the coolest thing. So I don't really need anyone else's like approval or credibility. I was collecting Pokemon, you know, in high school and college. And yeah, it popped off in 2020, but that was like 15 years after I was still collecting it. I did some custom Air Force Ones based off of Pikachu, and it hit all the sneaker blogs in 2011, but I was getting clowned like, who's this weirdo posting these Pokemon shoes, bro? And now every week, if you go on Nice Kicks, they're posting someone's custom Pokemon or Dragon Ball shoes. And so again, I'm a definitely an obsessive collector, and I feel like I definitely tend to see stuff a little bit early, and I'm completely okay with that. I don't need anyone else's approval when I'm collecting what I like. So yeah.
No, I mean, I feel like that's exactly how it should be. If you're collecting, I know a lot of people say, oh, I don't care if it goes to zero. But no, I mean, that's, you're literally living that. Like, you know, like you said, I've had stuff go to zero. That's fine. Like, I buy it because I genuinely like it. That's like all my Legos and stuff, man. Like, I've spent crazy money on minifigures. I have over 150 sitting beside me, and don't care what the price goes to, because I bought them because I like them. I genuinely enjoy them. That's my kick. I like that, man. And that's, I think that's really what has like drawn me into NFTs, especially with like the whole rarity thing. I mean, I'm a shoe guy as well. For those that see the video, I mean, there's shoes behind me, and it's, there's always just something about it. You know, there being less of something. I think the same thing whenever I see some things in this space, like you said, the Murakami Air Force Ones, I see those, I'm like, there's no way 5 years down the line, these ain't from here to here. I don't understand it. I do want to ask you, you know, you're not just all sneaker guys. You know, I've seen you, like you said, games, Pokemon. What collections are you liking right now? Are you liking the anime collections? Are you liking certain, like, what's your cup of tea? Or are you only doing sneaker NFTs? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, most recently, the project that I found and really liked, so I'd already been hearing about it for months, Valhalla. At the time, I didn't want to like buy into the pre-reveal little fluctuation that was going on, like 0.6, 0.8.
Yeah.
I don't really like to, you know, gamble the rolls unless I got it at mint price or something like that. So I waited to the reveal, and I was getting stuff just under mint, like 0.45, and they were rare. So like, I had one that was like holding fire in his hand and stuff like this. And I was looking at it, and even then, that first day, I was like, I like these. I know I like these. I bought three in that first hour. I was like, I know I like these, but I can't tell like if anyone else is going to care. And I literally just spent all day in the Discord listening. A lot of people were in there just talking and stuff. And I was looking at all the trades, and I found myself like wanting more of them. I was like, wait, these are really cool. And yeah, so for a week, I was pretty much just in that Discord. If I had any free time, just listening, looking at the trades, searching. I think I acquired like 11 of them, and it had a pretty decent move up. I unloaded all of them, and that wasn't because of something that like, I planned on doing. Ape staking is another thing that's been really like on my mind. And so I was pretty much transitioning everything. I was selling those were at a game. I was selling a lot of my actual collection at a loss, like big pieces to just get into the staking because, you know, very bullish on Yuga and everything like this. So I ended up buying one back in. Another thing I liked about it from the beginning is this first event they were going to have, which just released, I think, yesterday, was the reroll event. So they airdropped these coins that could be burned. And it's not the first time there's been a reroll, but, you know, it's a great looking collection. And the idea that you can enhance your collectible or switch things out, swap it up for a limited time, that adds that scarcity. And you know, where my mind goes is this event is only for the hair, the clothing, and the weapon. What if the next event is for different trade slots or something like this? And they also added for the weapon, they added a new weapon. So they're really doing something different, which I already thought was interesting enough. And yeah, I just really like it so far. There was a lot of FUD on the founder. I honestly didn't even look into why. I don't think that matters at the end of the day. Even if you think of like the Azuki FUD with like the founder there, that didn't end up mattering. You know, the community decides if they like the art, like what they're releasing and stuff like this. And so will Valhalla be around in a few months? I'm not sure. I like it. I'm still looking to add more to them. I just have the one right now. And yeah, that project is the one that's currently exciting me. And the idea that they're trying to build out a Web3 Twitch is pretty cool. I've spent like most of, since like 2013, before NFTs, I'd spend like all day, if not watching, listening to Twitch. So the fact that they're trying to do something like that is cool. Will it succeed or not? I'm not sure, but I think the project, the anime style project that they've released and its traits, I think that's cool so far.
Hell yeah. No, it's crazy that you bring that up, because you're one of the better follows, if not one of the best follows that I have on Twitter right now, on the simple fact of everybody shits on me for only following like 300, whatever. They're going to have to get over that. The fact is, I follow who I follow because I feel like it's genuine stuff being put on my TL. I'm not getting tagged 3 friends and retweet this 5 times. I'm not seeing none of that. Now, yeah. For the last last 3-4 months, I've seen you tweet out projects that you like. Valhalla was one of them. I will say, for me, you were the first person to put Valhalla on my TO at a decent price. Definitely should have got in. And anyone listening in, this isn't to say, hey, go pocket watch Franulations. I'm just saying he was talking about it early. And there was a project before that. Can't think of the name off the top of my head. You were first on that I saw you post.
So over the past few months, it was like Rare Pepe, Ranga, mm-hmm. and this. So
Ranga, you know, other that's what it was.
Other projects all buy, but if I'm not really feeling it, I'm not going to go in with the tweets like that. I'm not going to go in up. Like, I have to really think there's something there. And that's the thing, is like, it's coming from a genuine place. And I'm literally trying to tell people, like, I don't know. I'm very, very upfront with what I'm thinking about it. So even very on, my tweets are like, I'm not sure how I feel about Valhalla. And then when it was at 0.6 or so, I was like, I think this is something. And watch, when it's at 1 ETH, everyone's going to be like, oh, I knew I should have bought it. And literally, that was the tweet. And then, like, I think it was like 2 days later, it hit the 1 ETH thing. And you were seeing all those types of tweets and stuff. So again, I really try to look forward with any of my like thought process and see how it's going to play out days, weeks, and months. And if I have a thesis, I'm very open with sharing what that thesis is.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's why I think you are a great follow, because with the Ranga, that was the other one. That was the other project that you had mentioned early on. You were actually the first one on my TL to mention Ranga. Very, very, very affordable price at the time. It did numbers. It is what it is. Again, I didn't buy in, but you always put out what you genuinely think about it. It's not, hey, everyone go buy these, and then you check the blockchain, Franulation sold, and you're like, oh, whoa, what the fuck? You know, it's not none of that. It's, like you said, coming from a place of genuineness, and you're like, hey, this is what I think, and that's what I'm looking for whenever I don't have the time. I do have the time. I'm just lazy, and I'm not going to go look into it. So whenever I saw your tweets, I value them a lot. So I do appreciate you on that, and I just wanted to quickly ask, what did you say was a couple things that you look for whenever you find these projects? Or is this a case where you're just like, hey, this is me genuinely liking a project, I'm going to check it out, see how it does, and then we'll go from there?
Yeah, so in order for me to start getting to talk about it, it is the type of holders holding it, whether it's Bored Ape, Azuki, Artifact, whatever, the persistency of seeing people talking about it. It really has a lot more to do with the community than with the creators in most cases. In order to really get, you know, popped off, people can have the best art, they can have the best website, they can have the best all that. If the community is not feeling it, you know, it is what it is. And so I do keep track of like a lot of different metrics and stuff like, and I don't really have like a solid answer for you, but all of those calls, I made those calls during the pullback when clearly no one else cared. Like Rare Pepe, Ranga, and Valhalla, I was able to get in on all those under mint. So at that time, it doesn't seem like it's going to be the next thing. You have to really want to find that information, and if it's there, then I start sharing it. And even though I don't have a solid answer as to like exactly what it is I look for, I think the best thing I could say is community is a big aspect, the type of holders, and you know, if I'm seeing people switch the PFPs, if I'm seeing the activity in the Discord, it's like an amalgamation of a lot of different things.
Yeah, I totally get that. I do think right now, especially in the bear market, one of the biggest things and one of the biggest indicators are a community. And to be honest, we saw that with Azuki. You know, even with the Zagabond stuff, they could have, I think, as a community, came together and really just put it to bed if they wanted to. Instead, they did the exact opposite, held their ground. And I mean, they didn't tank, they didn't fall to the floor, because I mean, they, what they built, the community is much stronger than that one person. So yeah. I mean, that right there shows you, I mean, if you were looking for indicators or something, that was, you know, community being a big thing. Now we're almost getting to the end, and I'm almost ready for the five questions, but a couple little things I wanted to ask you was, is there anyone in this space that you're wanting to work with, or that you have worked with and you really enjoyed it?
You know, everyone who I've interacted with, I've definitely enjoyed. I'm always open to work with anyone, but I wouldn't say there's any like particular thing that comes to mind. I will say this is, the clothing that Azuki dropped recently is like literally easily the best merch that anything's released in Web3. That's probably because it's the ambush tie-in, but if they can keep doing that high tier streetwear stuff, you know, obviously I'd want to do something if ever possible with them. But yeah, in general, you know, the space is so fun and exciting. I feel like I'm always finding new people that I, you know, would love to do something with and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, off the top, no exact thing comes to mind, but I'm always excited to dig in the space. So yeah.
Hell yeah, man. No, Azuki's nice. I did hear that they did the ambush thing. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Azuki has put some high dollar products out there, and they're really good at putting rarity on things. I mean, honestly, if you want to make a lot of money, make it rare and make it something that Dingling has to have. And as long as Dingling has to have it, it don't matter what price it is, he'll buy it. I mean, we saw it with the skateboard. He is an absolute man. Much respect to him, though, because he is someone I feel like also has that obsessiveness when it comes to collecting. And if he sees something, he's going to get it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, that's facts. Yeah, the other thing that was really exciting to me about that hoodie specifically was the digital rarity factor. You can like scan the hoodie and you could get like a golden digital collectible, a ghost rare, or just one of the common ones. And so again, they're doing these new creative things. And that's the exciting thing about this space is like, we're so early that, you know, in sneakers, you see sneakers and one looks like the other. There's a lot of, you know, retros and stuff like this. We're so early. We're going to keep seeing new stuff literally for at least a decade, if not more. If you think of gaming, all the evolutionary jumps for multiple decades, now it's kind of not really plateaued, but they're all starting to look about the same and stuff like this. And so, yeah, I think that's the exciting part is we can't even begin to imagine what type of use cases are going to be put to these tokens. And it's just really cool to see it all unfold.
I'll tell you what, I just got like really, really excited because I've noticed that you've kind of been, regardless what era or what it was, I don't want to say that you've been the very first at everything, but even with like the YouTube, you were early on, found success with that. I think you're repeating history with the NFTs and you're really early on that too. In the grand scheme of things, I don't see the Dependable J's and you know, all these big sneakerheads in the space yet. I mean, if they are, maybe I'm just not seeing them. That's crazy. It was just a little moment. My last thing before I jump to the five questions, I do want to ask you, since you brought up the Ambush Azuki clothing, is there any other merch? It don't even have to be collabs, but any other product, I mean, projects that have dropped merched that you really enjoy. And the reason I ask that is because alongside the sneaker reviews, you do have the clothing reviews. You do know high fashion. You've seen that side of the world. Is there anyone else you feel has dropped some quality merch alongside Azuki?
Yeah, I love everything the Hundreds is doing. Like, I mean, this one's not Web3, but. And then, you know, you got your Cool Cats on right now. And the fact that they've, you know, teamed up with everyone, You know, big, small, mid-range projects. I love it. It's so genuine. And yeah, I want to see more of that from them. Yeah, that's a brand that I've been collecting since 06 or something like that. And yeah, the fact that they're in this space and they're doing, you know, streetwear, but Web3 streetwear is really cool to me. And yeah, I just hope to see more of that. Bape did some t-shirts for their NFT project. I thought that was pretty cool. I recently picked up my claim on those. So there's definitely a lot of clothing brands, you know, doing stuff in this space. And I'm sure there will be even more, you know, in the years to come. So,
hell yeah. And it's crazy because for those that don't know, he's wearing the Hundreds Pokemon collab that just came out. And I'm jealous as hell. I'm a big Pokemon head. And that was probably the best collab they did all year. I was so hyped to see that, especially the Ash Ketchum hat. That blew my mind. I always like seeing people do their rendition of that hat. That one came out pretty well. And not to mention, I mean, the Hundreds has some pretty damn comfortable clothing. I'm a big fan of their shirts. Anything that they drop with Cool Cats, I think I picked up. But I have a tons of old Hundreds, and that stuff held up very well over the years. Yep. But Fran, we're going to jump over to the five questions that I ask everyone. These are pretty common. Okay, cool. You can answer them general, Web3 related, totally up to you. But number one is, what is your goal in 2023?
I definitely want to do more collabs. That's for sure. You know, merging those worlds of Web2 and Web3. Very exciting. So that's definitely a big one for me. Another thing I've been wanting to get back into, which I did like a little bit of, it's kind of involved with Web3 in general, is just like mining, a bit more of that. Look into doing that a bit more. Is just, you know, I really believe in the long term, you know, idea of crypto, and therefore NFTs. NFTs is just another layer on crypto, and so. Just immersing myself more in it. And, you know, I already have trips planned all throughout the first two quarters of next year for all the events going on. So more of the Web3 events and, yeah, just continuing to go through it. I think next year is probably going to continue with the bear. If it's anything like my, you know, I got into crypto in 2017. The majority of my time in crypto, it's been a bear market. So there was only that year and a half. There was a bull run out of 5 years. So it's not always, you know, really, really exciting. There's a lot of boring time in the space, but that's also the time where you can, you know, gain those positions. So continue to slowly acquire those positions as I've been doing for the past 5 years.
No, absolutely. That's a great answer. I mean, I think that's a lot of what a lot of people don't understand is their first time joining crypto NFTs was during a bull market, not realizing how many years before that it was not $50,000 and $4,000 ETH. It was not even close to that, you know, so long ago. So, you know, that is one thing people need to take a step back, look at. But I agree, man. I can't wait to see what you do in 2023. Number two is, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Very easy, Japan. I've always loved that place. I finally got to go for the first time in like 2015 or 16. Been wanting to go since fourth grade when I was slanging those Japanese Pokemon cards. It's amazing. The culture is amazing. There's no trash anywhere. People are so kind. I was at a McDonald's and we didn't know how to get to our hotel, and the worker didn't really know how to speak English. He went from behind the counter and he walked us two blocks down the street to our hotel. It's the type of you're not going to see that anywhere in America. Like, people don't care. They're not trying to help you. You get out of their way. People are so generous and kind of there. You don't hear any people honking. It's just a completely different world in the best way. And it's my favorite place in the world. And so easy answer is Japan.
Damn. Okay. I believe you're the second person to say how like beautiful it is over there. And just the culture is so amazing over there. And it basically just sounds like the exact opposite of New York City. So that's like perfect for me because I dislike New York and how busy it is. I'm from Kentucky. Nothing like that here. So good Lord, I could only imagine. I definitely want to check out Japan, though. Anywhere over there, I just feel like beautiful. I'm a big cherry blossom guy. So I want to see you know, just a bunch of them in one place. Number three, what is your biggest pet peeve?
It's probably been the same thing for a very long time. Just like people like stepping on your sneakers. I hate it. It's like, yo, bro, like how are you even getting that close in the first place? And it's like, yo, I'm probably wearing something rare. So that is literally I can't. And I'll look back, I was like, oh, no problem. But inside I'm just like, the fuck, man. I'm like,
yeah. Inside I'm like, fuck, man. I mean, it's that serious just because, like, I know there's people that are like, bro, they're just shoes. It's much deeper than that, especially to some people, the sentimental value, what you actually paid for them. And then, like you said, bro, why are you that close to me to where you can step on my shoes? Why are you even, I don't care where we're at. I don't know why you're that close to me. So
exactly.
No, definitely a huge pet peeve of mine. And I should have known that it would have been sneaker related. Good Lord. Number four is, what do people misunderstand about you most?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard one to say. I mean, in general, I've been online for a large part of my life. Definitely have thick skin. I've heard a lot of, you know, negative and stuff like this. A lot of it's just assumptions based upon, I don't really know what. It's hard to say exactly what the biggest thing is. What I can say is this. I've taken a lot of hate, and because of that, I'm definitely not, I've learned a lot from it. It's like, I would never knowingly or purposely want to spread any type of hate or any of my own opinions on someone else. Just let everyone live their own life and do their own thing as long as you're not hurting anyone. And yeah, I don't know. I guess that's my best way of answering it is, people have said some foul things, and luckily, you know, it doesn't really affect me in that way, but there are people out there that really get, you know, impacted by that. And I don't think it's right that someone makes a thesis about someone without getting to know them, and then it impacts someone else's day. And so I just try to, you know, be cool with everyone. And yeah. Yeah.
I like that answer. And I will say from my encounter, I have seen Franelations online for over 10 years. Never really got the chance to speak to him until recently. And I just felt like I was just never put in the right position to where I got the chance to speak to him. But the moment that I did, always treated me with respect, was always so kind. And over the 10 years that I've seen you, I don't think I've ever seen you say one foul thing or bash someone else. Even as funny as it sounds, I literally just watched your sneaker battle again for like the third time, literally 2 days ago. And you can just tell by the way that you carry yourself, even in a battle, like you're a nice guy. So I don't know if there is anything said out there. If there is, fuck them. You've always been super kind to me, man. You've always been a super nice guy online. So I think you're a great guy, and we don't care what the haters say. I'm glad to see that you're still doing what you do all these years later. That's why I saw you hop into the NFT scene, man. I was like, yo, y'all don't know who this is. Like, y'all have to realize, like, this is an OG. So it's been super fun, man. It's really fun to see you in this space. Now this one might be a little easy for you, might be a little hard, but the last one is, if you won $10 million tomorrow, do you think you know what you would spend it on?
Yeah, it's terrible. Recently there's a huge lottery pool or whatever, and I was talking with my girlfriend about this. The first thing I would get wouldn't be the house. I'd do that also, but a trippy board ape. that's the first thing I'm getting, is a digital collectible, the digital collectible of my dream, and then we'll move on to anything else. So yeah, that's the first thing I'm getting.
I like that, man. You know, people have asked me, I'm a big Cool Cat guy. I've had the question bounce back to me, and I've said, you know, I'd have to pick up, if not a Cool Cat, just an NFT that I've really, really wanted, something that I really connect with, and I know that it's been out of reach for so long. Plus, not to mention, it's the bear market, man. I should be able to pick up a decent anything for a fair price. Exactly. And then, you know, in the future, I might even pick up two Bored Apes if I'm feeling it.
Right.
But Fran, that's the end of the podcast, man. You have been a great guest. I love the fact that I got to learn more about you as – you know, NFTs, crypto, who you are as a person. And hopefully everyone listening in finally, you know, gets to learn more about you if they haven't got to in the past. Could you let the people know where we can find you on social media and stuff?
Yeah, for sure. On YouTube at Frenelations, I started doing TikTok a little bit this year. Also, I believe under Frenelations there. Twitter, it's Frenelations23. Instagram, Frenelations. You know, all very similar content across them. Really, my focus on Twitter is there's a lot of retweeting good and negative news that's going on in the space to just kind of share that so that people can see it in one place. I kind of carry that same thing over to my Instagram feed to the 60,000 or so people over there who maybe aren't keeping up with every single thing going on Twitter. I really try to consolidate what I think is, you know, the biggest, you know, good and bad news in the crypto space, because, you know, all of that's valuable information. And, you know, to just share the good stuff, I think would be the wrong way of doing it, because there is, you know, a lot of risk in this space as well. TikTok, I try to have a little bit more creative fun there with that stuff. I'm just barely getting used to that. I never really jumped in until this year. Anyone who's ever supported, followed, anything like that, I appreciate it. And I'm definitely going to be in Web3 for many years to come. I started doing sneaker YouTube in 2008. And even though I didn't do it, to that same rate, I still, you know, stayed in that space. And the same thing is going to be here, even if I, you know, maybe don't collect as much in 10 years, I'll still be posting something about it. But thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Stick around after the end. I got some stuff for you. And for those listening in, thank you so much. It's been another great episode. Going to continue to try to do this every week. You know, we've been doing it for a year now and it's been fun. So I thank you all for that. But this has been another great episode with Frenelations, and we will be seeing y'all next time. Peace out, everyone.